Good morning.
Good morning.
Just sound testing, You're okay? You can hear me? Excellent, excellent. We're going to look at the Word of God, and first of all, the reading. Now, I think there's something special about the words of Jesus. Sometimes we read the Bible and it's somebody else speaking, but when we have the actual, because it was in Aramaic, but the English translation of the very words of Jesus, then it comes to me with a great deal of impact. So I want you, as we read this reading, not just to think, oh, it's just another reading. Just listen to the voice of Jesus Christ himself. So it's from Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Father, grant that the words that I speak and the thoughts of our hearts and the meditations of each one of us will be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever thought of how strange some of the choices of books in the Bible? Ecclesiastes, the first verse, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, or if you prefer, meaningless, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless, and then the book goes downhill after that. The book of Jude, that has that wonderful doxology, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. But earlier on in the book, He refers to a book called The Assumption of Moses, where the archangel Michael argues with the devil over the body of Moses. And then later in the book refers to the book of Enoch, which no one's ever heard of since. Or the book of Esther, an entire book telling the inspirational story of the triumph of a good woman over an evil man in the name of God. And yet, the name of God is never mentioned in the entire book. The book of Proverbs, for me, equally puzzling. A vast collection of short, sharp bits of advice. A bit like those fortune cookies you get with a Chinese takeaway. You break it open, take out that piece of paper, and it says something incredible like, today, something special will happen. Or, your future is certain. I'll give you an example in Proverbs, which is maybe a little bit odd. Grey hair is the crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Clearly, that's not true. There's no regular pattern of either storytelling or advice. That's probably very unfair because there is a great deal in Proverbs of value. Like Proverbs 22:2, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. Now, despite what I've said, I'm going to extract one small gem from the last chapter of Proverbs as my theme. And it is this. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. These were the words of a mother to her son. His name happened to be King Lemuel. Who? Well, that's it. We don't know any more about who he was, except that he was clearly not Jewish. But his mother is instructing him as to how he should treat his subjects. I think I prefer the International Children's Bible, which simply says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of all those who have nothing. A lot of the time, it's very difficult to watch the news, both international and here at home, and not feel totally, totally overwhelmed with the suffering that humanity has to bear. The leaflets through the letterbox, which are constantly demanding our attention to yet another earthquake, tsunami, or war zone. And we tend to think too much. I cannot cope with so many calamities at one time. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of those who have nothing. But how can I, as just one believer, or even as we as a church, cope with the deluge of events which are brought to our attention every day? Well, before we despair, let's, and just give up trying, we'll return to our reading, Matthew 25. The sheep and the goats. In Matthew's gospel at this point, Jesus had a chunk of teaching for his disciples. Now, this was only 2 days before the Last Supper. So the content, which was mainly parables, was of extreme importance to them, just prior to the events of the first Easter. He starts to tell them of the future pattern in God's planning. I think quite rightly we get a bit nervous, I get a bit nervous, about delving into too much about the last days and about what's happening. Largely because I have very real difficulties knowing exactly what the Bible predicts for the future. And the fact that so many crackpots throughout history think they've known exactly what lies ahead, even to the year. But here, as I said in our reading, we're dealing with a story direct from the mouth of Jesus. And what does he say? There will come a day when God the Father will sit on his throne with all the nations gathered before him and divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep and the goats. In the Middle East, a shepherd will herd both sheep and goats together during the day, and then at sunset, divide them into separate pens. So separating these two groups, on what grounds? On what test? On what way of dividing them? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was homeless, you gave me a room. I was shivering, you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. I think you'll agree that about 85% of that describes the work of the Birmingham City Mission. Food distribution, care for the homeless, provision of clothing and furniture and visitation both door to door and in hospital chaplaincy. And all on behalf of Birmingham churches. What I think we fail to realise is that we, Yardley Baptists, are not doing this stuff. The City Mission is doing it on our behalf. This is why Laura and I particularly make no hesitation in saying that we should be a little bit more keen about this particular organisation. But notice, both the sheep and the goats don't recognize what they've done as specifically for or on behalf of God the Father, because both the doers and the don'ters ask, when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in? And the answer comes back, and the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Or as another version puts it, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it for me. But surely the test for separating the good from the bad should have been, what did you believe? How is your faith? How much do you know about the Bible? Here we have the clearly drawn conflict which has bothered the church for 2,000 years. What is more important, faith or works? Belief or action? James wrote a whole book. Do read it when you get home. And the basic line is, faith without works is dead. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is sitting without clothes and daily food. You say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, James says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But how does that tie up with our belief that only faith can save us? And whatever good deeds we do aren't going to put us right with God? The answer comes from Paul in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace that you are saved, through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Put it another way. Saving is all God's idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It is God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done it. We'd done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each one of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work that he got ready for us to do. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was a fiery evangelist. He said on one occasion, "I thought I could, if I could win one soul to the Lord by walking on my head and playing the tambourine with my toes, I would learn to do so." He soon learned, as he met the appalling condition of the poor of London, you cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach or cold feet. For William Booth, faith and works. Listen to this, again William Booth. "Work as if everything depended upon work, and pray as if everything depended upon prayer." On another occasion he said, "Faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of a man walking, first faith and then works and then faith again and then work again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is one and which is the other. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of those who are about nothing." On our Harvest Sunday, Heather will be looking at ways in which we can practically speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. I can't finish without commenting on Jesus' words, "I was in prison and you came to visit me." For the last few years, I've had the opportunity to talk to prisoners in Huell Prison near Redditch, and with others attempt, in the official Ministry of Justice speak, to monitor fairness and respect for people in custody. And I would recommend for your prayers both the work of both professional and voluntary prison chaplains. They perform their duties, as you can imagine, in a very stressful circumstances. They play a vital role not only in faith terms, but also in very practical matters relating to, particularly, to families of prisoners. Previously, I had no awareness of the challenges and the opportunities that chaplains have to witness both in words and action. We don't need, I'm reassured by the word of God, we don't need to be overwhelmed by the need around us, both locally or in faraway countries. If each of us are able to take on perhaps one or two specific areas of concern in the world in prayer, in interest and in action, we are assured by the very words of Scripture that he can do miracles and change the world. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Defend the rights of those who have nothing. Now you say, what can I possibly do? Well, we have an offering about to be taken up for Birmingham City Mission. This is your opportunity this morning to give to those who are called and work their socks off to reach those who have nothing. But whatever you do this week, Concern yourselves. Yes, if you want to, lose sleep over the needs of others. But let us speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves and defend the rights of those who have nothing.